And welcome back to the Green Front. I'm pleased to be introducing Nate Hansen. He is with a company that you may or may not have heard of, but after this interview, you're going to be seeing a lot more of them because they're a big player in the renewable energy field. He is with NextEra Energy Resources, and he's here to talk about a program called Earth Era, as well as other initiatives. And they're also the sponsor, the lead sponsor for the upcoming Sustainable Brands 09 conference happening in Monterey in late May. If you live in the area and you're at all interested in what's going on with greening business and sustainable corporations, you won't want to miss it. It's going to be a fabulous conference, and it's going to be energized by the folks at NextEra. They're going to be providing all the clean energy to the venue there. And I want to welcome him, Nate Hansen, to the Green Front to talk about NextEra and what's going on there.
Well, thank you, Betsy. It's great to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity to join your show and speak a little bit about NextEra and specifically our Earth Era initiative. And for folks that haven't heard of NextEra, NextEra is, we just recently changed our name from FPL Energy and for several reasons, but for those not familiar with our company, just a brief overview is we're a large power generating company with approximately 17,000 megawatts of generation, but I think more importantly, we are the largest renewable generator in North America. We have over about 6,300 megawatts of wind generating capability. We have the largest solar facility located in California, about 310 megawatts, which has been in service for quite some time. And we have built our portfolio out over the last 10 years or so to really be a clean portfolio. And one of the measures that our company and specifically our CEO, Lou Hay, who speaks a lot on climate issues up in Capitol Hill and whatnot, is that if all utilities across the country and all power generating companies across the country had a portfolio makeup similar to ours, we would meet the obligations of the Kyoto Protocol right now. So I think that's a pretty big, you know, high standard that we hold ourselves to. And frankly, it's been good business for us. So when you look at our development capability or development over the last 4 to 5 years, it's been primarily in the wind development area. That's been the majority of our additions to our portfolio. And we expect that to continue. We're still, even with the economic situation that we're in this year, we still expect to put an additional 1,100 megawatts of wind generating capability into production by the end of this year. And frankly, we see solar as the next next technology that will hopefully be built out, similar to how the wind generation portfolio has grown in the United States over, you know, the last several years anyways.
And I want to hear about the world's largest solar facility that you operate in just a moment. But first I want to go back to sort of what's happening overall, the big view of renewable energy. You know, things are really rolling along, you know, quite nicely because of all the environmental challenges and peak oil, as we've been talking about on this program a lot. And then along came this economic dip, and then along came a very green president, President Obama. So are you sort of getting pushed and pulled, the coming and the going of the good news and the bad news and the bad news and the good news? What's happened to investment in renewable energy? And, you know, it's a big area. I realize that. But you guys are a big player, so you probably have that perspective.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned, we are still planning to invest in renewable energy this year. Most companies have scaled back their installation plans for this year just due to the access to capital. And I think the Reinvestment Act that is currently in place provides additional incentives for renewables that clearly we are focused on, and we think that's that will be a benefit to support you know, shoring up the driving capital to support the development that's frankly required in both moving forward with building out wind and solar capability within the United States. It's not just the generation facilities themselves, but it also includes how do you get those facilities, which should be sited in the most efficient places, how do you get that power to where people live? And that includes transmission upgrades also, which will be required to support any of our activity with respect to building out an energy infrastructure that will have a renewable footprint of any reasonable size. And that, you know, that's really what has led us into this Earth Era initiative, which I'd like to speak a little bit about. Earth Era is really designed to try to create more demand for the environmental benefits related to renewable energy. And what it allows us to do is sell renewable energy certificates in a kind of an interesting and unique way, such that all of the money that would be used to purchase those environmental attributes are directed directly into the Earth Era Renewable Energy Trust and held there. 100% of the money is held there and only used to develop new renewable generation. So
that's a key point there.
Yeah,
worth promoting.
I think the game-changing opportunity with that is that currently in the market today, people buy renewable energy certificates and they get the environmental attributes that they purchased, and that's it. And most of the market is comprised of, frankly, good retail marketers, but they're not buying typically directly from the source of the generation. What NextEra has done in creating the Earth Era initiative is we can sell directly to businesses and consumers directly from our own facilities. And we can also, so they know where the renewable energy credits are coming from. So there should be no concern around the quality of those credits, which has been an issue in the past, which, frankly, is, I think, at least in the voluntary market, is getting a lot better with the different certification programs, such as the Green E programs, have really kind of increased the quality of the credits that people buy, at least here in the United States.
I want to talk a little bit about how
myself
can tap into this. Sorry, I just wanted to not forget to ask you, if people are listening and they want to take part and they're, individual residents, how can they access what you're offering?
Yeah, we currently have, for consumer offers, we currently have offers on our website, which is at earthera.com. And when you go there, there's product offers for small businesses as well as consumers. And there's some educational tools on the website, such that you can calculate your own carbon footprint from different activities that you undertake, such as driving or airplane travel or the size of your home, which has, energy obligations. So that in itself, we want to make sure that people could go on and kind of learn about their impact to the environment. And there's also a bunch of other facts and tips related on the website on how they can reduce their carbon footprint, which is the goal of our initiative and the goal of our company, because what we're trying to do, not only in building out our portfolio, but is, along with launching the Earth Era initiative, is we're trying to create more renewable energy in the United States, because that's part of the solution to climate change, it's an integral part of it. There's other pieces also, such as energy efficiency and other types of technology development, but
I was just recently at a bunch of green conferences for, Earth Month. I'm going to talk about that when we come back, because I heard some statistics that I want to ask you about in terms of what percentage of our overall energy is coming from renewable sources right now as we continue really the beginning of this major transition and how we get and use and produce energy. You're listening to Greenfront Radio. We'll be back right after these messages and continue our conversation with Nate Hansen of NextEra and EarthEra.
Thank you for listening to the Green Talk Network. Help to spread the green by involving your family and friends. You're doing your part. Now help them think green. Spread the green. The Green Talk Network.
In today's business world, sustainability is the key driver of business opportunity and brand value. Join over 600 business leaders, brand strategists, designers, and sustainability execs at Sustainable Brands 09, the third annual gathering of business leaders focused on innovating for sustainability, May 31st through June 4th in Monterey, California. At Sustainability Brands 09, you'll hear Dell, Office Depot, Clorox, FedEx, Caterpillar, Williams-Sonoma, Method, Frito-Lay, and many more. Share stories of sustainable business success. Learn more at www.sustainablebrands09.com or call 650-344-9693. That's 650-344-9693. On the Green Front, listeners get a free night stay at the Monterey Marriott. Use code OGFSB094H. Restrictions apply.
Let's see. The planet is hot. Droughts, fires, floods. But our economy is cold. Recession, job losses. What if we could make our planet cooler and the economy hotter? We can. If we end our dependence on foreign oil and switch to clean energy. The carbon pollution from oil and coal that's melting the ice caps and warming the planet? Cap it and spur new investment and jobs in clean energy like wind and solar. Investing in clean energy could provide more than 37 million jobs for American workers in the next 20 years. That's right, 37 million jobs. Closing the carbon pollution loophole makes polluters pay and helps clean companies prosper so they can hire more workers. As a result, the planet cools, the economy heats up. Pretty cool. I mean, hot.
Paid for by the Alliance for Climate Protection.
Hey, tea lovers, this is Betsy Rosenberg, and I hope you know about my favorite brand of tea. If not, listen up. This is not just another brand of tea. It's an entirely different level of tea. I'm talking about Mighty Leaf, the tea that's so delicious it helped my husband and I kick our coffee habit a few years ago. Not only does Mighty Leaf use the whole leaf of teas grown in China, India, and beyond, and come in a flavorful assortment of blacks, greens, and whites, but the pouches that hold the tea are as high a quality as the tea itself. The silken biodegradable sacks are not only glue, staple, and chemical-free, they're gorgeous and made from corn. Check it out yourself. You'll find Mighty Leaf at Whole Foods markets across the country, in the finest hotels and restaurants, as well as online at MightyLeaf.com. My current favorites are the Organic Detox Infusion and Organic Green Dragon. So start your day with a cup of organic Mighty Leaf tea and get infused with your green routine. In stressful times like these, we need to detoxify our bodies as well as our environment. Discover for yourself why with just one cup of Mighty Leaf tea, you'll be hooked for life. For personal and planetary health, drink Mighty Leaf.
Keep listening to the Green Talk Network for the latest in the sustainability and green movement for all of our futures, today and tomorrow. The Green Talk Network. Spread the green.
You're listening to On the Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg. The phone lines are open for your comments and questions at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send Betsy Rosenberg an email. Her address is betsy@thegreenfront.com. Now, back to On the Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg.
And back to my conversation with Nate Hansen. He is Vice President of NextEra Energy, a company that is having a big role in terms of expanding the amount of renewable energy that's available that is used in this country. Let's just start with a perspective, sort of the large view. It's still less than 2% of our energy is coming from renewable sources, is that correct, and only about 1% from solar?
Yes, that's right, Betsy, and I think that's part of the problem. What we're searching for is ways to accelerate the growth of renewables across the country, and that's why, you know, we initiated this the Earth Air initiative, where both businesses and consumers can actually participate through their purchases and their memberships in Earth Air. With that money going directly into the trust, that will go to build additional generation above and beyond what we are already doing as a company. And just, you know, we launched this initiative on April 1st, and it's not an April Fool's joke. We've actually had a very good start in our first month. We have over $18 million of commitments to the trust from product sales already. And you know, what that really means is that's equivalent to when those dollars are actually used to put, you know, renewable energy into the ground, that's basically like taking 130,000 cars off the road for a year. That's what those facilities will, that's what they'll generate renewable energy, and frankly offset about 130,000 cars a year. So it's a great start for us. We're very excited about it, and we think it's a way that people can feel that they, on a very credible and a high-quality way, that they can participate in something that's going to make a difference for the future.
Now, you operate the largest solar operation in the Mojave Desert. It's called SEGS, you said. I'll let you say what that stands for, if it's relevant. And is that the answer to build giant solar, you know, facilities, or is it really something that we need to put on everyone's roof? Is that even feasible? What do you see as best-case scenario for ramping up solar? And then we'll talk a little bit about wind.
Yeah, and on the solar front, we see a variety of installations. I mean, there are certain areas across the country that are suited more favorably for solar installations than others. Primarily in the desert southwest has the best probability for solar installations. But, you know, we as a company are pursuing the larger scale, I would say, utility scale size solar installations. We have our sister company, which is Florida Power and Light, located here in the state of Florida, is currently in the process of developing 3 solar, both PV and solar thermal facilities here in the state of Florida. And as I mentioned earlier, NextEra, we have announced a 250 megawatt facility going into production that we're currently in the latter stages of permitting. And that will also be in Southern California. So we think solar is both on the utility scale, but is a very, you know, robust technology that will expand as wind has grown over the last several years. We see that growing in a similar vein, if not faster, as the technology and the cost of solar continue to come down over the last couple of years.
You said you also have about 3 nuclear plants that you operate. What do you say to Americans who are concerned about what we're going to do with the waste and the safety concerns?
Well, it's not actually my area of expertise, but you know, we do have 3 nuclear facilities. We have 6 in our total company portfolio. But the benefits of nuclear generation with respect to climate change are so overwhelming with respect to zero CO2 emissions in the production of energy that it's hard to think of an energy future that would exclude the expansion of nuclear. And while we look at the waste issues, I think the overwhelming issue, and I know a lot of the NGOs have come around to this point of view, is that the climate issue is the overriding issue that we need to address, at least at this point in time, with respect to the future generations. That's going to be the biggest issue that we're going to need to tackle over the next 30 to 50 years. And if we don't do it right, I'm not sure where we're going to be 50 years from now.
Yeah, that's a good question to ponder. What are the biggest obstacles from really, you know, standing in the way between 1 to 2% of our total energy availability to, you know, 20 to 30%, enough to really, you know, be the tipping point, to really turn the tide and make a difference? Is it financial? Is it can't build these facilities fast enough? Is it political? And we do have new leadership in Washington, D.C., so how optimistic are you that we are really going to see a ramp up in the next 5 to 10 years of renewable energy?
Well, we're very optimistic that we're going to see a ramp up. And, you know, with the discussion around the new administration and their support of renewable energy, if we don't do it now, I'm not sure when we will be able to.
We better not put this on our – we'll get to that tomorrow list. I think we've been doing that, and we're seeing some of the consequences of that procrastination.
And we are. And frankly, that's – what has happened over the last several years is it hasn't grown fast enough, and that's why we want to try to allow companies and individuals to participate with us to be able to build more now. And frankly, just our development and our development process is probably the most efficient in the world in terms of installing new facilities at a reasonable cost. As well as siting them and putting them in the locations where facilities should be sited. So some of the limitations are the typical limitations around just getting the permitting to site new facilities in particular areas. But when you start to get to the 20 to 30% range of renewable generation penetration into our energy mix, there starts to be congestion issues on the transmission lines, and those are the issues that are currently starting to be talked about. And but to really be able to make the penetration of renewable energy across the country's portfolio, we're going to have to expand the transmission capability in the areas where renewables should be sited and that they would be most efficient.
And we have to expand our vision, and part of that expansion is coming at the corporate level. You have some big companies that you're partners with, and you're also the sponsor of the upcoming Sustainable Business Brands Conference. I wish we had more time, but if you want to find out more about them, go to their website, and that is, once again, Nate, your website, earthera.com. I think we lost Nate. Thanks for joining us on the Green Front. Hope you learned a few things. I did. See you next time.
You've been listening to On the Green Front with your host, Betsy Rosenberg. We hope you'll join us again live next week, Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Green Talk Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit thegreentalknetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.